And good morning, everybody. And, well, we got a good weekend for the last weekend duck hunters in the West Zone for Louisiana. Not so good for fishermen, but I do have some unique opportunities and maybe some alternatives if the weather gets you down. Well, that's because we've got an Arctic blast forecasted into early next week. It's going to bring some hard freeze conditions over much of our listening area. So I've got some precautionary tips I've put together to protect your boats and motors during those freezes. And we've got another winter hazard, and it's something we talked about last week. And coincidentally, I witnessed just such an encounter this week, and I think it's worth mentioning again to help you avoid what could be a deadly encounter. And we've got some of the hunting seasons, like waterfowl, they're going to be winding down. Others are reaching their prime times. We'll give you a little bit of rundown on what's going to be open. And are you hunting and fishing, or either one today? This weekend, we'd love to hear from you. If you had a good trip earlier this week, we'd love to get your report. We'll add it with the reports of our field reporters. And we'll also take your comments and questions via our in-studio text messaging. And that number is 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. And for you late-season coastal duck hunters, there's one species that's a late-migrating diver. And it's kind of earned a reputation for being, well, not so tasty. Well, I got to tell you, I have a recipe for the scaup, or dogri, as it's called in Louisiana, to share that's going to change your mind. Especially since Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery waterfowl count, which came in yesterday, shows a big influx of that species into coastal areas. So you're likely to have an encounter if you're going to be hunting this weekend or if you're in the east zone hunting through next week. This is also the time of the year for a non-native species to Louisiana. That's the rainbow trout. There's going to be three stockings in public ponds scheduled for today. They're pretty much out of the weather. I'll tell you where you can find them. That might be a good choice given what you're going to hear in that coastal marine forecast. And it is in, finally, we've got the harvest count, the final count for Louisiana's red snapper for last season. We did go over the quota, and I'll tell you how that's going to affect this year's new quota. And here's a question for you. Did you ever catch more fish than you can use? Some people say, what? There's no such thing. Well, if you did, did you ever think about selling your fish online? Well, if you have, think again, or you could end up like this week's bad boy of the outdoors. I'll have that story coming up. Now to that coastal marine forecast, and looking pretty grim for fishermen, but good for hunters because you got some wind out there. East winds, 12 to 22 knots offshore, 3 to 4 foot seas on the interior lakes and bays. They'll still get that 12 to 20 knot wind. It's not near there right now as I'm looking at the current winds, but it's predicted to build up. And tomorrow will turn into a small craft advisory, those 12 to 22, but it will be out of the south tomorrow, and also a small craft advisory for the interior lakes and bays. On Monday, it gets even worse. That will change to a gale warning. And with those below freezing temperatures, no place to be. Average tide range, throw that out the window with these winds. It's about a 0.5 movement. And we've got the Mississippi River's at 2.0, holding steady. Expecting some rain along the coast. That's in Texas right now, headed towards the east, and we'll be here probably late tonight and continue on into Sunday. And that will give way to those below freezing temperatures starting early next week. So that's it. The stage is set. We're ready to go. Text me with your info, comments, questions, 504-260-1870. We've got some live fishing reports coming your way. It's what we do here every Saturday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. And we call it the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, let's go down there right now, Shell Beach in St. Bernard Parish, and let's talk with Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina. Good morning, Robbie. Looks like we got a deep freeze coming, my friend, and we got some breezy weather until then and some rainy weather. I guess the duck hunters are going to be enjoying this final weekend over that way, but, man, doesn't look real good for the fishermen, except for you know what's coming.
Let me say this, Don. You know, this past week wasn't all that bad. They caught a lot of fish this past week. A bunch of fish caught up in the Mr. Go here from here all the way to Chalmette, did by the wall up there. And it was 50-50, whether it was either on, you know, live shrimp or plastics or jerk baits. I tell you, it was I saw a lot of fish come in this week. And I tell you, I was really shocked. Back up in a Biloxi Marsh, it did the same thing. Fishing behind Bayou Sioux back there, you know, getting up into that cutoff area. We've seen some fish come in from there. But I think after this cold blast comes through, I believe this is going to, well, two things is going to end. I think live, and we're going to still go try, people, but I think it's going to be the end of the live shrimp for the season, and I think it's also going to be the end of a trout bite for a while, not unless we get a drastic warm-up. And we have another front coming down behind this front, so it's not looking good for the trout bite after this weekend. Duck hunters are going to be loving it. The wind's blowing pretty good this morning. Don, if they would leave this season run to the end of the month, it would probably be a little bit better because the ducks, you know, we're just starting to see a few ducks, bigger ducks like gray ducks and Weegians coming down now where we didn't have that, you know, and people were shooting, you know, trash ducks like buffalo heads and bluebills and, dogries and whatever. But, we're just starting to see some good ducks come down right now, and the season's going to close tomorrow. Another thing is, my phone has been blowing up about this. Do we think we're going to have a redfish jubilee at the drawbridge?
Right.
And we talked about this many, many times over the years, Don. You got to have the stars to align to do this. And what I mean by that is you have to have two things. You have to have cold weather, which we're going to get, but you have to have extremely low tide. Now, the tide was all week was rock bottom low, okay? So now that the wind's blowing out the northeast, it came up a little bit. So I don't know if this is all going to play out. Now the wind is supposed to switch back out of the northwest. And, you know, I think the second day of this this cold blast, which would be Tuesday, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Tuesday's going to be the second day of this cold blast, is going to be the day if any redfish show up in that bayou, I think it's going to be Tuesday, not Monday. So, you know, look, I'm just giving you my 2 cents on this whole deal, and I think that's when it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're right, Robbie. And again, we want to remind people who want to participate in that, make sure you find a place that, you know, you have permission to fish along the Bayou Lutri, along the docks there. Clean up after yourself. Don't make a mess. The landowners certainly don't appreciate that. And just bring you a handful of dead bait and put it on a jig head or with a weight and fish it dead slow on the bottom. And be careful of your size limits. A lot of those redfish are small that get in there. You got to release them. And be careful of the creel limits because the game wardens know when that happens. And if the fish are in, you know, trapped in there in that deeper water to escape the cold temperatures, the chances of going over the limit of your redfish is there. So they're going to be there. And a lot of times you won't see them in uniform. They'll be fishing there next to you, maybe wearing camo jackets.
Oh, yeah.
And next thing you know, they're
walking,
counting your
they'll
fish.
They'll be walking around just like you, you know what I mean? They'll be walking around in blue jeans and, just the regular clothes. That's not, you know, you're not going to know who's standing next to you. So be very, very careful because in the past years of this happening at that drawbridge, we've seen quite a few tickets being, I saw some cars being taken. People just doing wrong. I saw a guy with an oyster sack one time with 15 inch redfish in it, and that didn't work out too good. So, you know, just do the right thing, people, if it does happen, and you'll be fine.
All right, anything else before you go, Rob?
No, Don, I think that's pretty much wraps it up. So, we're just going to hunker down. And if you got an outboard motor and you're leaving it up and you're going to – I know this happened before. I want to just throw this out there. Everybody's got outboard motors, and you know how everybody got them tilted up. When this freeze comes, make sure you go trim that thing all the way down if you can, or let the front of your trailer down so you can tilt that motor down to drain that water out of that lower unit. That's a little bit of water that stays in the bottom of that lower unit, because what happens is that lower unit gets frozen and sometimes they crack. So,
yep.
Frozen water expands, and when it expands and it can't go nowhere, guess what? You know, I've seen it happen before. Just, you know, wrap your pipes and stay warm, people.
Good advice, Robbie. I got some more tips to add to that coming up shortly, because folks are going to need it. Thanks for your reports as always, Robbie. Let's hope it doesn't cause us any serious problems with this Arctic blast, and we'll be back to talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later, Don. Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes, Robbie Campo. All right, we come back after this. The waterfowl report for you duck hunters, before you get out to your blinds, or if you're leaving now, take your phone with you and listen to us, because the flyover was done probably about a week or so ago, but the information is pretty good, and some of it is pretty positive for the wrap-up of the duck season. I've also got a recipe. You know, I heard Robbie talking about people passing up on those scarp or doe grease. Don't do it. There's a great recipe I've got, and I'll share it with you when we come back right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, for you duck hunters that are headed out early this morning, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries did their waterfowl population estimate for the coastal zone and also for northwest Louisiana, and also did a special flyover looking for those scarp, which I'll talk more about. Mallards still looking bleak, less than 1,000 birds in the southeast, 6,000 in southwest, and I think we all know the arguments why we no longer get mallards in Louisiana. However, boy, there is some really bright spots. Of course, the numbers, these are not close to what it used to be 15, 10, even 10 years ago, but green-winged teal in the southwest, 720,000. And you add the southeast total, and there's over 800,000 green-winged teal in the state. Blue-winged teal also up for this time of year, 116,000. Normally, they have flown through and are headed down to Mexico and South America. They are still hanging in here. And we also have the scarp, or the dogri, as it's called. A nice influx. It's 288,000 in the state, 158,000 in the southeast. So we've got a total of 2.46 million ducks in the coastal region and the Little River Basin, and that is a 48% increase over December, over last month's count. The scarp are up 125%, had a large influx of those, and I'm sure there'll be more coming, but unfortunately in the West Zone, where there's a lot of open bays and big water where they come in, they're diving ducks. It will be closed, closing tomorrow, and the East Zone hunters will have it all to themselves. Something else they counted, black-bellied whistling ducks. We call them Mexican whistlers, and they counted those at 385,000. That's an 82% increase over January of last year. And I think that season that will be in next year's waterfowl limits, you'll be able to hunt the black-bellied ducks on a special season in October. And with that increase every year coming around, I think that's a species that's going to be important to waterfowlers from here on out. The change from January of 2026 for January 2025, you got a 67% increase in mottled ducks. Gray ducks are up 37%, blue-winged teal 75%, shovelers 58%, and 48% on the scarp or dogri. Which brings me to that duck. Now, you heard Robbie talk about people pass up shooting scarp. A dogri is what they're called. It means dogri is too gray. It's two gray stripes on their wings. It once was an extremely common duck, and over the years they've kind of fallen off, but kind of made a little bit of a rebound. But I can recall when scarp or dogri were a 10-point duck when we had the 100-point system, and you could shoot 10 of them a day per person. And then we actually had a special season when the regular season closed. You had, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks beyond that, you could hunt them on certain open waters like Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne, Lake Catherine, the bays down around Plaquemines Parish, the big open water. If you got up against the banks and put a lot of decoys, you could extend your season. Well, a lot of people, for some reason, there's these rumors and that go around that they're just not any good to eat, and people pass them up. They don't want to put them in their limit. You can now shoot two per person per day, And I'm going to give you a recipe, and you might want to go back and get it or maybe jot this down because it's not real complicated. But you take the breast meat from the bone. You fillet it off just like you'd fillet a fish. And you get your meat mallet, and you pound it out to make it tender. You tenderize it with a meat mallet. Kind of breaks up that gristle and those pieces in there that generally make it tough. Then what you do is you marinate it overnight in milk in the refrigerator. Milk breaks down the lactic acid and is also a tenderizing, and you will be amazed at how that dark breast, it's a very dark-colored meat in a dogri, but when you marinate it in milk, it lightens it up. Well, when you get ready to cook it, you rinse the milk off, you pat it dry, you get a piece of foil, you put one of the breasts down on the foil. Now, you brush the breast with olive oil. And on the one on the bottom, you cover it with the Trinity, the onion, the bell pepper, the celery, and maybe chop up some garlic. And then you take another olive oil breast, you brush it, and you put it on top, sandwich style. You with me? So you got two breasts with the seasonings in between them. They've been oiled up. They've been marinated with milk overnight. You close that foil. You make a little tent with the foil. You put it on the rack in the 300-degree oven, and you cook it until it becomes fork tender, and it will. When you open it up, you'll be able to take your fork, and it'll just kind of break away. It'll be tender, and that goes great with wild rice. It's got a good flavor. So do not pass up a scop or a dogri, as it's called here in Louisiana, and put that recipe to good use. All right, when we come back after this, I'm going to give you some of those tips for taking care of your outboard motors and your boats during these Arctic freeze blasts. And if anybody's out there listening, maybe some boat mechanics, we've got a lot of professionals. If you've got something to add, we can help save our listeners a lot of time, expense, and problems. Please text it to us along with your fishing reports, 504-260-1870. And we'll be back in 3 minutes right after these messages from our sponsors on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's start this segment off with some of our text messages coming in. We got this one. Good morning, Mr. Don. Sitting in the Charlotte airport, traveling for work, headed back to New Orleans last Saturday, we tore up the freshwater cats, some very large reds in the intercoastal near Miller's Ditch. That's from my buddy the Worm. Yeah, I know where Miller's Ditch is. It's a little narrow cut that connects Lake Catherine into the intercoastal. And, you know, to get those deeper water this time of year, that's where you're going to find those fish. They get out of those shallow marsh ponds and head into the deeper water to seek comfort from the cold weather. All right, we got the Steel Man. He's reporting in from Gaydon. The crew is back together for this closing weekend. Here's who they got out there. Big Burr Sr., Snow Boots, the Master Prepper, Poppy, and I will give it a try. Despite a slow hunt yesterday, Big Burr Sr. made an excellent duck and dove gumbo last night. Happy hunting. Yeah, this is definitely what you'd call gumbo weather coming. If you like to eat gumbo during cold weather, well, your time is arriving. All right, we're going to get back to some more of these text messages. Also got some tips to protect your boats and motors during these Arctic blast-type cold freezes that are coming in. And we'll do that right after we pause these 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we have the Backstrap Stacker checking in today from Mobile. As predicted, the rut right now is full-blown in lower Alabama. They stacked up the backstraps last weekend. One deer between two of us over the long weekend. The freezes are full. Y'all stay safe this weekend. They've got eight deer total so far. So, boy, that's a great season, despite whether you continue to do it. But right now is your chances to get that nice rack because that rut's on and those deer get crazy. All right, let's see. Here's another Alabama listener, Wingbone. He's hoping to finish up a Wingbone turkey call. That's from our friend in Wilmer, Alabama. All right, let me get to the protection for your boats and motors. These are some things I've put together, but if we got any boat mechanics, professionals out there listening that can add something to it to help you get through this and without any damage and expense to your boats and motors, please text us at 504-260-1870. Now, the most important thing to protect your boats and motors during a hard freeze, just like Robbie said, remove all water systems. You got to get that water out. Drain it from freezing because it'll cause cracked engines and burst the pipes. You also should drain your boat plugs. A lot of people don't think about that. If you get the rain first and maybe some ice storm coming in and that gets into the boat and you got your plugs in and it accumulates, it can also cause some problem with icing up in the hull. Your bait well. Make sure your bait well is drained. Your freshwater system. You need to run some marine antifreeze through that engine's cooling system. And most important, like Robbie said, store your outboard in a vertical down position. Have that lower unit down so it can drain all the water out. If you got it cocked up on the back of your boat, that water can hang in there and cause you some problems with damage from the ice. You might want to get a cover if you don't have one. Cover your boat to keep the frozen rain and ice from forming inside that hull. If you keep your boat in the water, keep the lower unit down underwater where the temperature is not below freezing. A lot of people want to get it up, think they're going to get it out of that cold water or not. If it's down below the surface, it's not going to freeze. So there it is. Cover your boat and drain anywhere there's water in that boat engine. Make sure you get it drained out of there to protect it. All right, 504-260-1870 is our text line. Let's see, I got some more texts coming in. This one says, the real temperature, and this is not a wind chill, is minus 9 degrees Fahrenheit from Ohio. Been hunting frozen pipes since 2 a.m. We're in the clear once the sun comes up. Stay warm, y'all. Well, we've got a better chance than you do up there in Ohio for sure. All right, here's one that says, Don, going out one last time, duck hunting into Zalmans, putting the bow on a terrible season. Yeah, and I talked about that last week. DeZalmans is used to be one of the primo areas at Lake Salvador, Lake Cataguachi, Salvador Game Management Area. All of those marshes in there, brackish marsh, attracted species of all types. And, you know, because of the saltwater intrusion, and a lot of people are blaming freshwater diversion for killing off a lot of the vegetation. The feed is no longer there. And it's also the victim of some things that are happening up the flyway. You know, we've talked ad nauseum about what goes on with the flooded cornfields. And I see it every day on social media, these lodges that are making a lot of money and they're levying off ponds and growing corn. They don't harvest it. It's not an agricultural crop. It's there. Yeah, it's crap. To feed the ducks, they flood it. They put ice eaters in it. They control the water level, and it holds the ducks as long as they've got food. They've got cover. They've got water. They are not. There's no reason to migrate. And the species that it is most affected is mallards. And, you know, I point to the blue-winged teal, which are length-of-day migrants, and you see they still pour down here. There's plenty of teal. The divers, they don't go into the cornfields. They show up, and I hunted woodcock this week, and the woodcock continue to come down here in Louisiana. We hold the largest population of wintering woodcock. Why would they not come if you can blame it on global warming is what a lot of the conservation organizations are blaming it on. But I'm old enough to remember I've seen enough duck seasons where I've been hunting in 70 and sometimes 80 degree weather, and you're covered up with ducks. So it's not weather, it's more about habitat. And then we've got other factors. We've lost a lot of coastal habitat too, and that is also problematic. All right, when we come back after this, I'm going to talk about another winter type hazard that I witnessed firsthand this week, and you want to watch out for that. And also, it's in the final red snapper landing estimates for last year. We went over quota, boys and girls, and we got to pay it back next year. We'll tell you how bad that looks right after this time out on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, this is what I love about this audience. We ask and we receive. You know, I was asking for some advice to add to what I put out about tips for your boats and motors during these deep freezes. And this one comes in from a guy named the Battery Man. He says, Don, don't forget about your boat's batteries. When storing the boat, remove the batteries from all connections, and that will prevent what they call parasitic draw, and place them on trickle maintenance charges to keep them charged and healthy. Doing that extreme cold, yeah, the battery wants to give its power. It sucks it off of it, and then you end up with dead batteries, and you might even be killed batteries. So it's a great idea. disconnect the connections, and then keep them on the trickle maintenance, charge them to keep them charged up. Great advice, great tip. If anyone else is listening that's got something to add, we welcome it in to help our boat and motor owners. 504-260-1870 is that text line. Also got this text in, Don. We have 1,700 acres of prime South Louisiana duck habitat. We killed a total of one greenhead, which is a mallard, this season. And, yeah, the mallard is the one that's most affected by the short-stopping. They claim, this is U.S. Fish and Wildlife numbers, that there's a good, healthy population of mallards. That's why we continue to have a 60-day, six-duck season. But they don't come here. They're all up in Missouri and Tennessee and places like that, Illinois. Anyway, I think the future for the South Louisiana duck hunter is going to be Mexican whistlers and teal. Mallards, endangered species. All right. Last week, we talked about something that has become another hazard this time of the year, and I'm talking about collisions with deer. How many deer do you believe are killed in North America? And we looked it up, and the best numbers show that somewhere between 6 and 6.5 million deer are killed annually. A lot of that is with the hunting. But the total mortality is probably closer to 8 to 10 million, which means that there are about 2.7 million killed in auto crashes and with predators by a few. But I would say there's probably a good estimate, 2 million collisions with trucks and auto. And I got to witness that this week. I was on my way to go woodcock hunting. a friend of mine, you may have seen him. He's been on us with Bayou Wild TV. Extraordinaire fisherman. He's very talented artist and decoy carver, Chris Weaver. He was ahead of us. Dean Galatis, my hunting buddy, and I were in a truck with our dogs, and we were probably 10 minutes behind him or so, and he ended up hitting a deer on I-10 going about 70 miles an hour. Very fortunately, his airbag didn't deploy. He maintained control of the truck, didn't go side. There wasn't anybody else involved in the accident except he and the deer, and when I tell you that deer sprayed with feces the side of his truck, he had to give it a truck wash when we got to the hunting camp. Well, we were just shortly behind him, and I told him we'd look for the deer. He kept going because there was so much traffic. And by the time we got to the scene of the accident, somebody had pulled over and scooped up that deer. Evidently, they saw it hit, realized it was a fresh deer. It was a big doe. He estimated it probably over 120, maybe 150 pounds. And somebody got him a deer, threw it in the back of the truck before we could even get to the scene. So he's going to be contacting his insurance company and getting some work done. But again, it's rut season. The deer are on the move, especially just before daylight, which it was close to that time. And right again at dusk, that's when you got to be most careful. And sometimes it's unavoidable. I mean, they get out on you like that, and there's just nothing you can do. Other times, if you keep your eyes on the sides, the shoulders of the road, a lot of time you can see them, particularly at night, you can see their eyes, and they'll be standing right there on the shoulder of the road. And as soon as you get close, when those headlights hit them, they try to bolt across and ends up bad news. So it happens very frequently. In fact, insurance companies put that into the estimates on the cost, the cost of collisions with deer. It's one of the big hazards of drivers. All right, something else came in this week, the final count on the red snapper. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries estimated in Louisiana we caught 947,103 pounds of red snapper during the private recreational season. Our quota was 894,955, so it was almost 6% above that, which means we were almost 40,000 pounds over. So what will happen is, well, actually, it'd be 52,148. The 39 was the payback that we had from the overage in 2024. We had to pay back. This year in 2026, our allocation will be reduced to 891,439 because the 52,148 that we went over has to be deducted. You got to pay them back. So one way or another, you pay me now or pay me later, as the man says. But we had 200 days of red snapper fishing May 1st through November 16th during this 2025 season. And I tell you, it's a really good season that the way it turned out. And, you know, the Lac Creole process that was developed here in Louisiana, I can't say enough about it. When we took the management out of the hands of the feds and gave it to the state, so much more accounting and better access, better records. It was more accurate and allows us to enjoy more red snapper fishing. And not just our state, Mississippi, Alabama also kind of use the same thing. All right, we come back after this. Daryl Carpenter joins us. We're going to find out about Grand Isle. I would think it's you got to hunker down and get into some wind-protected areas if you're going to do any fishing at all. We'll find out what's going on with him right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I got a text in from Roland Cortez and the Dave's Bayou crew. They're hunting waterfowl on this cold morning up in North Louisiana. Hope everyone in the blind has a safe trip. He says when he lived in the woods in upper, I guess that's, is it Michigan, M.I.? Michigan's an abbreviation. He hit a deer with every vehicle he owned, four of them, and one rammed him in the rut. Did your truck look like a doe, maybe? I don't know. Have you, has anyone out there ever hit a deer or other wildlife? Text me, 504-260-1870, and tell me the story. Daryl Carpenter joins us, realscreamers.com. Daryl, you ever had any close encounters or hits with deer crossing the road?
Oh, yeah, Don, several. And look, you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but in another lifetime, I was a former beat cop. I mean, I worked for the sheriff's office up here in Baton Rouge, and my God, I've seen some of the damage. I saw one get hit one day, or should I say rammed a vehicle one day, and this was the biggest buck I probably ever laid eyes on. And when I tell you, he opened the side of that car like it was a sardine can from the front bumper to the rear bumper, just ripped it wide open with his horns.
They do a lot of damage. They crash windshields. They, set off airbags. I'll tell you, one of the really huge collisions I saw was in Alaska when people hit a moose. A lot of times they don't survive, and the moose does, or the moose doesn't, and they do. And they actually have, if you live in Alaska, if you're a resident, you can put your name on a waiting list. And as moose are hit on the roads, they contact whoever's up next on the list to come get the meat. And if you don't answer, then they call the next one. And that's what they do with those moose. But, boy, you talk about damage a truck, a moose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be like hitting a cow. But Don, to change gears on you real quick, you're talking about the freeze coming and the prevention for these boat motors and stuff.
Yeah, I thought that's how our time would be best spent, is getting you to tell us what you do down there to take care of your stuff.
Well, it's not so much down there because, you know, it takes a whole lot to freeze, you know, down on the coast itself because of the water.
Mm-hmm.
But for the people that trailer their boats, well, a lot of people don't realize, too, that, you know, we talk about lower units, but the engine block itself, when that thing is cold and your thermostats are closed, that is a closed-loop system. And if you've used the boat recently, it's going to have water remaining in the head. Look, I'm well into the 60s, into my 60s, and what's always worked for me, and I've never had a cold weather problem, is tarp the rear of the boat. A couple of clothespins or a little bit of rope or something to make you a tent over the engine itself. And then take you one of these shop lights with the little spring handles and clip it to the lower unit with a heat lamp bulb in it. You're basically making a heated tent. It can get as cold as it wants. You're not going to freeze. That engine is not going to freeze in any way, shape, or form if you've still got water trapped in it anywhere. A simple tarp, just like you would if you had a chicken coop. You know, a simple tarp with a heat lamp clamped to the lower unit. You don't have to point it at the boat. The tarp's going to trap the heat, and it will keep it from freezing any at all.
Yep, very good advice. Very good. A lot of times you don't think about that, and it's too late. But, down there along the coast, I don't even remember the last time it got really, really cold down there. Can you remember the coldest you could ever remember?
Oh, last year when it snowed 12 inches.
You did get some freezing down there then.
Yeah, that was a heck of an anomaly. 2 weeks before the snow melted down there.
Yeah, Grand Isle in snow. That's kind of an oxymoron. You don't think of those two things together for sure. Well, Daryl, I guess the thing to talk about is after the weather. I mean, the winds, we're going to have small craft and then gale warnings and then hard freezes. So when all that is past and over, how do you pick up the pieces and get back to fishing?
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to pretty much scout all over again. I mean, you're gonna have at least a solid week of nothing but extreme north winds, gale warnings, really cold temperatures. I would imagine you're going to see some increased activity on the side of the road, and that should increase those catches on the side of the road, those deeper pits along LA-1. But once it's over with, first thing you got to be, you know, just be careful when you get on that water until our tide comes back. It's going to be shallow. You're going to run into oyster reefs. You're going to run into sandbars. So know where you're going or proceed cautiously. And, you know, whatever you do, don't leave without a bucket of dead shrimp. I mean, the sheephead are going to be thick. That's, you know, that's our escape and go-to this time of the year. When all else fails, you go to your sheephead. And other than that, you're gonna have to concentrate on intersections and points and bends where you've got deeper holes. And, you know, I mean, you're going to be going a little bit slower this time of the year if you don't know where you're going. So watch your depth finder. Don't just run your GPS. Run it split screen and watch your depth finder. And when you find those deeper holes, you're going to find fish echoes in it because those fish are going to be congregated in those deeper holes. Sometimes it's going to be redfish. Sometimes it's going to be drum. And you're going to find an occasional trout here and there this time of the year.
Yep, a little mixed catch. Nothing wrong with that. Darrell, I got you on my website. Give them the telephone number. Somebody wants to give you a call.
225-937-6288.
All right, stay warm, and thanks for that tip on the tent over the outboard. We appreciate it.
Trust me, I am not leaving the couch once it gets to be about 18, 19 degrees.
There you go. Throw another log on the fireplace. Thank you, Darrell.
Yep.
See you next week. Darrell Carpenter. All right, when we come back, we're going to have Eric Mohabarak with a paddler's report. Mike Gallo, find out if he scored his dough yet. We talked to Ryan Lambert on the closing weekend of duck season, as well as Mike Smith on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network, hour number two. And welcome back in, hour number two. And, boy, we covered a lot of ground this morning, talking about some tips for your care for boats and motors and also fishing tips during this Arctic blast that's impending. Also talking about collisions with wildlife on the highways. I estimate about 2 million deer are hit each year on the roadway. Could you imagine if we didn't take out that 6 to 6.5 million by hunters, how bad the situation would be if they just continued to overpopulate and all over the roads? You wouldn't be able to afford the insurance. Maybe not. All right, we're also talking about the limit on red snapper that we're going to be dealing with next year because we went over the limit slightly, not a whole lot, but we will have to pay that back. And a question comes in on our text line, is the Wildlife and Fisheries adding in the sharks that eat snapper before we can land them? Or once you get them up, you got nothing but a head? No, I don't think those are being counted because I don't think the fishermen are turning that in as a catch number, including it in their bag when the shark is the one that gets it. So I don't think they're including, and I hope they don't. Here's one from my friend David Hubble over in Mobile. Weather looks perfect opportunity to work on the presentation for John Foss Boucheret on February 7th. That's going to be at White Oak Estate and Gardens in Baton Rouge. Looking through the pictures the past 10 years, it's building up his anticipation and excitement, especially for the long table at the end holding all of the spoils of the boucherie. I'm pretty sure no one in South Louisiana will be eating anything better that day. 2 weeks and counting. Yeah, I'm planning on being there. We're going to actually have our Bayou Wild TV camera out there. And if you don't get to visit it, you can watch it on an upcoming program. And maybe I'll see you out there. Again, that's Saturday, February 7th. Look it up. It's Boucheret, B-O-U-C-H-E-R-I-E. And there ain't many of them that happen. All right, here's one that says, driving to the airport one morning, I hit a 10-plus foot alligator on Highway 90. I was lucky not to have any damage to my truck. On my flight, I sat next to two tourists from Chicago who were asking how many gators I typically see. Telling them about that morning drive, they were amazed. Yeah, I see them all the time. A lot of alligators are hit. Fortunately, they kind of got the low shoulders, so they stay underneath the body of the truck, and a lot of times you don't get much damage. Unless you're driving one of those little tiny, what do they call those little boxcar-looking things? I wouldn't want to hit a big gator in one of those. All right, here's one that says, good morning, Mr. Don. Enjoying the show in the box stand in St. Francisville. We're looking for that last buck. Been very successful this year. My 10-year-old daughter, Carly, got her first buck, an 8-point. Very proud dad here. Love the show. That's from Slim Dunbar. Well, Carly Dunbar, congratulations to you. 10 years old and got yourself an 8-point. Great, great, great. All right, if you got a tip or a collision with a deer story or any other animal, we'd love to hear from you this morning. 504-260-1870. If we missed anything on caring for your outboard motors, your boats, your batteries during Arctic blast, we'd love to hear from you. A lot of times people in the South, we don't get to deal with that. We don't have to deal with it as much as they do in the North, where they are used to it. They get better prepared for it. So when it happens here, it can be very problematic, so you need to prepare for it. And also, you need to keep an eye out for those deer crossing interstates and highways. And when the ruts are on in the wintertime, the deer are much more apt to be in the roads where they do not belong. All right, coming back after this, we're going to talk to Mike Gallo. He's trying to eliminate the odds of you hitting a deer. He's been trying to do it for a couple of weeks. I think he may be back up in Mississippi with a shotgun or a rifle in his hand. A rifle, I think he shoots a 7mm instead of a fishing pole. We'll talk to Mike next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bay report with Captain Mike Gallo is sponsored by CETO, and they may be getting busy this weekend. You certainly do not want to be stranded if you happen to be out on the water. Maybe you're duck hunting. Maybe you found a deep water area that was figured out of the wind, but you had a breakdown. Maybe you need a jump start, might have run out of fuel. Whatever your problem is, CETO is there. But please don't give them any more work than necessary this coming week, because they're going to be busy people. And if you don't have a CETO policy, I strongly suggest you get one. It's easy to do. Call Captain Chris. You can reach him at 504-301-4545, or you can even do it online. That's simple. You could do it right now from your deer stand or your duck blind. CETO.com is where you'll find him. That's CETO.com. Captain Mike Gallo joins us now. And, Mike, are you on the bayou, or are you getting ready to walk to that deer stand?
I'm on the couch, Don. I'm not doing either.
That might be the best place to be this coming week with all this stuff coming up. Any advice you can share with our audience? We've been trying to give some tips for care for your boats and motors. Now, you lift your boats out of the water there at the Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge. What precautions that you take to make sure you don't have any freeze problems?
Well, Don, I get a gallon of antifreeze, and I pour it in my bilge, and then I run the bilge pump until I see the pink antifreeze come out, and I know all my hoses and fittings, as well as that little bit down in the bottom of the hull, has antifreeze in it, and it won't freeze.
I like that. Now, is there a special marine antifreeze, or do you just use regular antifreeze you would put in your vehicle?
I use an RV antifreeze that is supposed to be safe for plastic pipes.
Gotcha.
That's about the only precaution I take. At the lodge, we'll shut the water off and drain all the pipes, which is a fairly easy, straightforward to do, not very difficult.
Yeah,
and other than
yeah.
that, I'm going to follow Daryl Carpenter's advice and stay on the couch.
Yeah, well, we got two professional guys going to be on the couch this week, and a lot of people are going to be joining you. Some folks, they want to get out in it, and other people just take the wiser move and don't even get involved in trying to get out there. I mean, the fishing is going to, you know, unless you're fishing from the bank where you can go in and out of your truck and warm up like what happens down. I think you went with me one time down there to Shell Beach, and we fished that bayou, didn't we?
We did go down to Shell Beach and fish one of those Jubilees. That was, I'm always fishing from a boat, so fishing from land was a little different for me, but I remember we caught quite a few.
I remember you couldn't keep your feet still. You kept kind of rocking back and forth while we were on the dock because you're so used to doing that in the boat.
that's Mike, built-in gyro I have. From the
there you go. Mike, give us some post-freeze fishing tips. What do you do during a post-freeze? That water's still real cold, so I would think the number one thing is fish deep water.
Yeah, the fish are going to certainly be close to deep water, and you can start deep and work your way shallow or vice versa, but they'll definitely be in deep water. And all fish love ledges. So you find a ledge, position yourself where you can cast to it and work down it or up on the ledge, cast out, work up it, and also position yourself where you can fish parallel to the ledge. And it's like anything else, if you catch a few and the bite plays out, then you can go down current or up current 50 yards, find a similar situation in the ledge, and try again.
We're talking with Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. He's on the couch, but he'll be back after fishing after this freeze gets through here. Mike, live bait is certainly going to be out when we get cold temperatures like this. It's very difficult to catch them in, to keep them live. Certainly you can fish with dead bait on the bottom. But give me your favorite cold water artificial for fishing deep cold water. What do you like to throw as far as plastics?
Well, I like to downsize. I usually go down to 10 or 12 pound test fluorocarbon, and I'll use a 3/8 ounce jig head, or I'll use an inline drop shot. And I really take a matrix shad, and I'll cut off about 3/4 inch off the nose and just kind of downsize it a little bit. And that's kind of my go-to. Or I'll use the Berkeley Gulp, which are a little bit shorter than the matrix shad right out of the box. But those are my go-to from there, and I'll pay close attention to hopefully I catch some fish. And if I catch a fish and he happens to spit up a minnow or something that he's eaten, then obviously I'll try to match the hatch as best as I can.
What about presentation? When we say fish it dead slow, do you leave it on the bottom? Do you just kick it, tick it, and drag it? Do you pop it up a little bit, or do you just keep trying different techniques till you find the way they want it?
Yeah, the answer is all of the above. You definitely want to be on the bottom, and you want to work slow. And, you know, when I say slow, slow might mean one thing to me, and it might mean something different to you. So we always say if you start out slow, and if that doesn't work, go slower. And just because you're not moving the bait doesn't mean that the current going past it doesn't make the tail move. So often what we think is sitting still is still moving for the fish. A bass fisherman would call that dead sticking, but it's still moving, and you can catch a lot of fish with your bait sitting completely still.
Yep, and you know, there's a lot of opportunity to catch those bass. You mentioned bass. They are not susceptible to cold water like the trout and redfish are. They're much hardier fish, and we certainly have an abundance of them in our brackish marshes, so you might kind of turn your attention to the bass this time of year.
Yeah, the bass have saved many trips. If you're specifically trout fishing and you don't do anything for your first 45 minutes or so, you may switch over to bass fishing and let the water warm up with the sun. And then when you're done bass fishing, you can go back to trout fishing, and they may be a little more aggressive with the warmer water. It doesn't take much to make the water warmer. 1 or 2 degrees can make a big difference in how aggressive a trout is.
Well, there's a lot to see on his website, aaofla.com, or you can get a link to it by going to my website if you're more familiar with that. Mike, since you're on the couch, I guess you got the phone handy. People are welcome to call you. Give them that number.
Sure, you can reach me at 985-781-7811.
All right, stay warm, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Don, we'll talk to you then.
And there he goes, Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures. We'll come back after this. It's time for the Paddler's Report. Boy, you do not want to turn over the kayak in this kind of weather that's coming. In fact, you may not even want to be in it. We'll talk to Eric Mahabarak, get the lowdown on what's happening in the kayak world. It's in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and also the sponsor, No Wake Outdoors. We're back right after this. Oh, yeah, we'll be stroking. That is our theme song for the Paddler's Report, sponsored by No Wake Outfitters. You will find them at 1926 Airline Drive over in Metairie. Got the latest outdoor gear that's used for fishing in the local area. Also have paddle sports equipment, kayaks for you paddlers. Also fly tying, fly fishing classes offered from time to time. And an extensive fly shop. They are specialists if you like to do some fly fishing. And also, they make you look good while you're doing it. Got some great sharp-looking apparel. Check it out. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. And joining us is one of our field reporters, Eric Mahabarak. And, Eric, I guess you heard the news about our buddy Chris Weaver bagging a nice deer, huh?
Yeah, man, I sure would like to congratulate him on that. I know he can't hit him with a gun, but, you know, he got that 150 on him hard, you know. But, you know, the sad part is them people come stole that deer. I could have been eating some of that sausage you'd have made. It just got real good.
Yeah, it went so fast. I mean, we were no more than 10 minutes behind him, and somebody must have saw the accident and pulled over and threw it in the back of the truck and kept on going. Whoever did that, if you're listening, text me and tell me you got a deer. It was just before you got on the Atchafalaya Spillway Bridge on I-10. And if you were there on, I want to say it was Thursday, was it Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. Text me, 504-260-1870, and I hope you're enjoying that venison. He said he hadn't got a deer, in a while, or maybe it was his first deer. I don't know, but he used a great weapon to get it.
I know. And there ain't no problem. At least he kept rolling on down the road, made that woodcock hunt. That was nice, too. But that sausage would be good, Don.
I know. And I tell you what, it would be tenderized, too, man, the way you hit that deer going really fast. I tell you, he's lucky he didn't get in an accident or have that airbag in his face driving at 70 miles an hour on I-10. That's really dangerous, you know?
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Definitely, Don.
Well, you don't run into that problem with a kayak, huh? You don't run into too many deer paddling a kayak, do you?
No, but I have seen them crossing the bayou before, and actually I've seen some nice deer crossing the bayou, you know?
Yeah,
the hogs, too. Yeah, definitely, you know. I'm sure if you put a little corn out, them hogs would be on it. You'd be able to hunt out of them.
Well, Eric, Southeast Louisiana Kayak Club had their tournament at the Point of Shen, and I got a great report came in, I'm going to share a little while, from a fisherman that was down there this week. How did it go?
The Murphys took first and second place. You know, Chris Murphy took first, and then his wife Jamie took second place, and then Brett Hotard took third place, and Santiago took fourth place, and Chris Murphy took the leopard red spot too. But it was evidently a good tournament, a little tough fishing, they said, during the day, but everybody had a great time, and they ate some food and stuff like that, and it went on and so forth and so on, and it sounded good, you know.
Let me tell you a little story about that leopard red for people who don't know what that is. They give a prize for the redfish that has the most dots. You know, redfish got the dots on the tail, and sometimes it's two, one on each side, but other times they just dotted with them all over. They started calling that a tiger red maybe 20, 25 years ago. And I told them, y'all better check the zoo. A tiger has stripes. Spots are on leopards. So they started calling it the leopard red instead of the tiger red. And I'm going to take credit for that name. But anyway, let's move on to Hopedale. What's been going on over there?
Well, we've been having some reports coming out that what if the water was a little low and dirty, but they've been catching a few sheephead and some redfish, you know, but after this front, you know, it's going to get turned on in them little deep water canals and stuff, you know, and go check that out over there. I'd recommend that also.
One of your favorite spots, Myrtle Grove. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we're going to kill the fish there really bad when this front hits. But they've been catching some reds there and like a little handful of trout and stuff like that. But it should be on fire with the trout once, you know, this front comes in. You know, I'm personally not going to go sit in a kayak. If I go, I'll take the sun and go off the bank. You know, it's just too cold to be out there for me.
Daryl Carpenter mentioned fishing along Highway, not 23, but Highway 1. I imagine that's good. But also down at 23 has been good. What do you think about Highway 1? That's a nice, easy spot to slip in and you stay close to the truck.
Yeah. As long as you got the deep water, you know, like the telephone pole hole, that'd be good right there. You could go hit the telephone pole hole and slip in right there and do it. But, man, make sure you know, with these kayaks, I don't care how good you are, make sure you got some clothes. With you in the boat, in the truck, bring two pairs, because if something happens, you ain't got much time. This water, you know. I mean, hypothermia is going to set in. I don't know how fast it can set in, but that's how fast it's going to set in. You know,
right, Eric. Joe Brown Park. Now, I'm going to give out some rainbow trout stocking locations, but Joe Brown was not on my list. They kept that a secret. I didn't know they had stocked Joe Brown Park in New Orleans with the rainbow trout. What's going on over there with them?
Well, I know they've been hitting it kind of hard, and a few people have caught some. I only heard of one limit being caught. A girl, Robin's supposed to be going over there. She said she was going to try and hit it up. I'm sure I'll get a report from her, and I'll let you know. I'll text you or something. Let's see how she does. But, they stock the ponds every year, you know. They said they've been catching them on corn and worms, and somebody caught a couple on the spinner. But, you know, that's what I'd use. I'd get the gulp, too, you know, the gulp trout bait or whatever. You got to remember, these fish are used to eating, like, dog food. So anything that looks like dog, I wonder if dog food would work even. You know,
I think you can chum them up with dog food, you know, and then fish over the hole. And you can do the same thing with a can of corn, you know, dump the corn in there and then fish with it because they're used to eating that, too. Now, you know, the spinners, when people hear spinner, it's not a spinner bait like you fish for bass.
Right.
It's an inline little feathered spinner, kind of almost a cross between a spinner and a fly, I think, is what really is effective if you want to use artificial. But they're fun to catch, and I'm sure they kept that a secret. I didn't get any information on Joe Brown, but some kind of way the word must have got out, and hopefully Robin can catch some and send us some pictures and a report on that.
You know what, too, Don? I'm sure that Justin over at No Wake Outfitters could help him with maybe a fly that they could put
absolutely.
On a cane pole or on a fly rod and flip out there and check that out. I'm sure he's got something that'll mimic a piece of food or something like that that they used to eat.
You know who catches them on the fly rod is Sarah Giles. She's really good at it. We filmed a show with her in Baton Rouge at one of the stock parks, and she was wearing them out. She does good with that fly rod.
Yeah, she does. That's for sure. Definitely.
Well, Eric, anything else before we go?
Well, if you're brave enough to go out there, bring some clothes because you're going to need it. And if not, just sit on the sofa and drink hot chocolate. Look out the window. Hopefully we don't get no snow, and protect your pipes and stuff like that. Flip your kayak over if it's outside. Get all the water out of it. You don't want it cracking. But other than that, man, y'all have a great day, you know?
All right. I got a name just text in for that bat, and you may have fished with this. A Meps rooster tail. Remember that?
Yes. Yes,
that's a good one for the rainbow. That's a good one. And thanks for that listener that sent me that. Appreciate it. All right, thanks for your report, Eric. We really appreciate it, my friend. Let's see if Weaver can top his deer, maybe, huh?
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't think he wants to. I think he needs to bring a rifle instead of a truck.
That's right, a crossbow, something, anything.
All right, Eric, have a good one.
All right, have a good one, Don.
We're kind of picking on Chris, and I know he's it'd be interesting to find out how much damage that was on his truck. It didn't seem to be extensive, but, boy, that stuff can add up. All right, we come back after this. You know what time it is. It's Bad Boy of the Outdoors time, and I'm also going to give you some locations to go try those rainbow trout. Doesn't matter what the weather is. These areas are very close in and fishable. We'll be back to tell you about it right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got some more texts coming in. This one says, this is from my friend the Big E, listening down in Thibodaux. Had a good day off the bank at Point of Chien Monday this week. Caught a limit of reds. They were cruising the coast using dead shrimp under Four Horsemen popping cork with a drop shot. All were over 20 inches. Had to release some. I left them biting. Boy, it's about as good as it gets, Big E. And we have this one wanting to know, is Venice in the west zone for duck season? Yes, it is. And it's because of this convoluted map we have breaking down the east and west zones. Venice is the easternmost point of Louisiana, except for Chandelier Islands. And it is in the west zone. So it does end tomorrow in Venice. All right, got a message from the Weave who bagged that deer with his truck. He said no dollar amount yet on the damage. He's going to keep us advised. All right. Also, the Rainbow Trout courses, they're going to be today. They're stocking them at Oil and Gas Park in Jennings from 9 to 11. That's actually the course. They've got beginner courses, but you had to sign up for that. I don't know if you did or not, if they have room for extras. But the stockings are there for the general public. They're also going to be at Southside Regional Park, that's in Lafayette, and then at Bayou Country Sports Complex in Houma. And next week, they'll be doing the stockings at Grambling Park and Elmore Mayfield Park. Grambling's in Grambling, Louisiana. Elmore Mayfield Park is in Ruston. So, and Joe Brown, as Eric alluded to, they've also got it there. Zamurri Park in Hammond, Bogachita State Park up in Washington Parish, south of Franklinton. All of those areas are the non-native rainbow trout have been put in there. Get you some corn, maybe some little worms. Light tackle. Got to use light tackle for them. They're small fish, but they're good fighters. And also those spinner baits, those MEP spinners, or you can also catch them on the fly. But you got to get them out of there before the weather warms up, and that's going to be a while because they don't survive. That's why they do it this time of year. All right, right after this pause, it's Bad Boy time. Had a recreational fisherman, thought he was a seafood retailer. put it online, got nailed. We'll tell you his story right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, on December 21st, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Corporal Austin Anderson and Corporal Cody Salpietra obtained a social media post from Christopher Harris advertising the sale of cleaned and bagged red drum and speckled trout. How convenient. Only problem was when they made contact with Harris on January 9th at his home, they learned he was selling the fish he caught with his recreational license and not with the required commercial and seafood retailer licenses. To make things worse, Harris already had an active arrest warrant out of Lafourche Parish. So the Lafourche Parish Sheriff's Office arrived on the scene, arrested Harris, and booked him into Lafourche Parish Criminal Justice Complex, which is a fancy term for the jail. For selling fish caught recreationally, looking at a maximum fine of up to $950 and 120 days in jail, is alleged illegal fish salesman from Thibodaux, Louisiana, 30-year-old Christopher Harris, this week's bad boy of the outdoors. Yeah, not a good idea to sell recreationally caught fish, and even a worse idea, just put it online, put it on Facebook. Hey, come get your bag, clean fish. Oh, boy. We've got a lot of geniuses out there fishing. Huh? All right, we come back after this. We'll talk to Captain Ryan Lambert on his last weekend. They're wrapping up the duck season. It comes and goes so fast. We'll get his take on how this season went and maybe some post Arctic Blast fishing tips coming your way right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And Plastic Man, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures, where they will be closing out the duck season. West Zone wraps up tomorrow. And Ryan, are y'all able to hunt out there, or do you have no water? What's the situation?
No, we've got water. It's a neap tide right now. So there's water, and we have a south wind. So I have six blinds out this morning, and tomorrow, hopefully we'll get in before that weather, because, boys, it's going to break loose.
Yes, it is.
When it does, you know, when it blows like that, you know, you're going to have ducks like crazy. There's just 10,000 ducks sitting out there on the outside. The last 2 days, it was dead calm and 80. Then yesterday, I couldn't see 50 yards. I could see just past my decoys all day.
Did the birds fly at all in that fog or no?
Well, how do you know?
Yeah, right, unless they hit the water and splash.
You know, when they come right over the decoys line, you get a quick shot, and we got a few of them. But, boy, I'll tell you what, I couldn't see, you know, from my north line to Patricio, I couldn't see Patricio all day. And there's only, what, 60, 70 yards between those two blinds.
You know. So how would you rank this year compared to other years?
Strange. Extremely strange. You know, as far as ducks, we killed a lot of ducks, made a lot of happy people, and the fishing was off the chain the whole time.
Yeah.
So we were very successful as a unit. But we probably killed less ducks because we didn't kill limits like we normally do. You know, you get 10, 12, 15 ducks in a blind. Yesterday, I think 15 was my high, and 5 was the low yesterday evening, because we hunted the evening yesterday, everybody but me, because my guys had to leave. But, you know, it was good. The gadwalls were really down because of no aquatic vegetation. You know, down there in Venice, there's a couple of places that there's grass, and it's just covered in gadwalls. And, you know, it's that simple, that if you have a couple of ponds with grass that are landlocked, boom, there they are. You know, you got to have vegetation. You got to have food.
Yep. Well, you know, I got this question. What am I putting on the stovetop to prepare for the cold weather Monday? I'm not real sure. I got a lot of choices, but I'll come up with something for sure. What about you guys down there? I guess it's going to be gumbo weather for you guys.
Well, it's always gumbo weather, but I'm going to make red bean soup. I'm going home today, and I'm going to make a big red bean soup, and I'm making it with a lot of meat and some those eggshell noodles, and I put that in there, and I stole that from Old Mouse from his old restaurant. It's super good in the wintertime, and it's nice and warm. And I'll be doing that this evening sometime. I'm going to go home up. The sciatic nerve's about to run me crazy.
Yeah, you got to take care of that, and especially bad.
I'm going to get an MRI Tuesday before I go back to Mexico next week. So,
man, you got to get a lot of frequent flyer miles, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I showed up in Mexico this week. They said, why don't you come if you can't walk? I said, I'm going to walk. I gut it out. And I did. But one day I didn't finish the quail hunt because I was hurting so bad. Thank God, because they hit a honey beehive.
Ooh.
It was wearing them out. And I was sitting there laughing, so it was good.
Yeah, it's not funny unless you're in it, unless you're in the attack. Then it's not funny at all.
Yeah, they was swatting them bees and running. It was funny. And then
Ryan, like Darryl, you rarely get freezes down that far along the coast or that far south, and you keep your boats in sheds. Any particular precautions you take to keep problems when you get these hard freezes like this?
Yeah, you trim your motor all the way down to where it's right. Tucked in and the water comes out of your lower unit. You don't want that water sitting in the foot of your motor because if it freezes, it could expand and crack that thing. So you want to trim those motors all the way down and get that water out of there. And other than that, yeah, not much. You know, just get rid of the water, and you shouldn't have any more trouble.
Yeah, keep your batteries charged, too. That was another good tip. Yeah,
it will kill a battery. If you got a bad battery, you go find out this week.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, when you get back from Mexico, hopefully we'll get some good winter fishing. You know, we're getting ready to enter February, which is one of the toughest months. But you guys catch fish 12 months a year down there. So tell them how to get you and get some info on your bookings.
Yeah. The fish is off the charts. I mean, and it's going to keep going in February. The river's down. The water's absolutely beautiful. We fly fished in the fog yesterday, and they landed 5, which is pretty good for, you know, fly fishing. But they can just call me at CajunFishingAdventures.com or call me at 504-559-5111. And now it's fishing season.
All right. Stock up on that ibuprofen and stay warm, my friend.
Oh, my God. I'm wearing it out.
Talk to you next week. There you go. It's Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, we got John Terrebonne with the Convent Hunting Club. That's the rabbit guys. Boy, they got what they want, some cold weather, good weather to be some rabbit hunting. He says they stocked the big pond at Lamar Dixon with rainbow trout, but they never seem to announce it. They're easy to catch if you know what you're doing. He throws those inline spinners on light line. Hold on, enjoy the fight. They are very acrobatic. And that was old man Sam gave us the rooster tail advice with the MEP spinner. Universal bait. Only thing he's hunting is another log to throw on the fire. All right, that's our text. When we come back, we're going to check in with Mike Smith. He's over in the Hopedale area. We'll find out what's going on. Delacro, Hopedale is where his leases are. We'll find out what the duck situation is there on this final weekend of the West Zone. And you're listening to it live on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, and to close out the show this morning, we take you down where they'll be closing out the duck zone in the duck season in the West Zone. We take you to Delacro, where Captain Mike Smith is down there, Marsh Guide Service. And, Mike, yesterday was foggy, but I'm looking. I stepped outside here to St. Hubert's Cathedral. It just looks kind of overcast, and I don't have any wind here, but showing you got about a 13-knot wind down there. How's it looking for this morning's hunt?
I can't wait for the season to close. That's how bad it is.
We couldn't wait for it to open, and now you can't wait for it to close. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I'll tell you what, November is so much better. I wish the season was November 1st to January 1st, and that's a wrap. I mean, I haven't seen a bird yet.
That's incredible. And all that feed that was down there, the submerged vegetation was looking good. I just don't understand it, you know?
No, I mean, zero. My brother showed me pictures of ducks still up north walking on the ice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When dining.
They got a chance of, yeah. I
and
mean,
dining on corn.
Right? And it's iced up there. I just don't. The cold weather doesn't mean a darn thing anymore. It doesn't push them down. And as far as teal, I just, you know, it blew them out. They might be in certain areas, but they sure not here this morning.
Yeah,
so
I think
far,
this last blast has maybe got them headed further south. But boy, they sure hung in there for a long time, and thank God for them. You know.
Yep. You just don't need cold weather to push down teal, spoonbill, pintail, stuff like that. You know, November. I mean, was fantastic. We were 180 degree weather, knocking the heck out of birds.
Yeah. Well, if there was ever any evidence that Climate change is the reason why there's no ducks in South Louisiana. This is going to prove it wrong because, I mean, it's just going to be in the teens this week.
Yeah.
It's frozen everywhere north of us with ice storms and snow and still no birds. Still no birds.
No birds.
Well, they'll find another excuse. They're going to say it's complete habitat loss, but if they would have got pictures of what your ponds look like, that wouldn't have been holding up either.
Exactly. I was going to hunt divers today, but the wind was too strong to hunt that open bay, and I wasn't going to retrieve ducks and whitecaps.
Yeah, well, they had there's some doe grease came down. You know, they don't get affected as much by the short stocking because the habitats are different. And we see them. They still come down here. Not in the numbers, but that's because their population's been down over the last several years. Boy, you remember the good old days when, you know, doe grease were a dime a dozen.
Exactly. But if the weather holds up tomorrow morning, if the rain, you know, comes later on, I might do the diver hunt if the wind's not that strong. You know, you can't go out in the pirogue and
no
in 3 foot waves.
No, not when and it's gonna get a whole lot colder. Well, how would you rate it overall? You did have some good hunts, you know, during the early part of the season.
Yeah, the first split was about a 9.9. The second split was about a 4.1.
Yeah.
January hunting, you know. Let it open in late October, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's still fun to get out there. And look, they found 385,000 Mexican whistles still here in January, so maybe we get to look forward to that. Duck hunting's going to be teal and Mexican whistlers. Maybe it'll come down to that. And, of course, there's always the fun of just being out there in the marsh and watching birds and alligators and wildlife and stuff like that.
Exactly. As far as the whistling ducks, they leave. They left the marsh, but you know where they are?
Parks Waterman and
Park
golf courses.
In Lafayette Park.
Yeah, and they're in the canals in West Metairie and all those drainage canals. They know they're not that stupid. You know, they kind of know where they're safe. Well, Mike, we enjoyed having your reports on all season. We really appreciate that. And hopefully things will turn around. You'll get the bag a few today. Those birds will start moving.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I've been on a lot of second split hunts like that. You know, don't shoot. God dog it. Hit him. You see that?
They snuck in on you, huh?
They snuck, a whole flock of teal just snuck in on us.
Any hits or did they all leave?
No. By the time they went through, it was too late.
We'll get back and concentrate.
It never fails.
Yeah, that's what makes it fun. Thank you, Mike.
That's it. All right. Thank you, Darren. I'll see you.
Yes, sir. There he goes. Longtime friend and professional duck hunting guide, Mike Smith. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us. Boy, we covered a lot of ground. Y'all are batting down the hatches for this Arctic blast that's fixing to move in across our area. Stay safe. Stay warm. And don't forget when you have the opportunity to get out and do the things you enjoy the most in the outdoors with the ones you love. That's what we do here. We'll be back again next week, 5 to 7 a.m. And next week, we're going to have a very special announcement for you. So be sure you get tuned in. 5 to 7 a.m., that's when we do it. It's called The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.